The books are up here, choir members. Thankful to God, you're a child of the King this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are inheriting a mansion. How many live in a mansion here on earth? Raise your hand. No hands raised. How many know you're going to a mansion up in heaven? Up with the streets of gold. Amen. It's going to be so beautiful. Every one of the pearly gates is made out of one pearl. And so big that you can fit half of the United States in it, and it goes, but it doesn't just go one direction. We are one dimensional here on the earth. The New Jerusalem is multi-dimensional. In other words, it's the same width as it is high and wide, so that means we'll be flying and we'll be doing all kinds of neat things in this three-dimensional world that we are in going to inherit in the New Jerusalem. Look forward to such things. Let us turn to our hymn books. Continue praising God. Number 9, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So much to be thankful for that we have a holy and loving God taking care of us. So let us worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's all stand together. If you're physically able to, stand with us.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Rise to thee.
wonderful singing. Let us bow together in prayer and pray for our nation, pray for our missionaries over on the foreign field. We got good news from the Larges in Nicaragua. The church there, they're helping a church get it established, and now they have found a pastor, young man who's getting married, and he and his wife, and a sharp-looking man who graduated from Bible college. They're in Managua, Nicaragua, so we praise the Lord that that's good news for the Larges, that they found the church that they're planting has found a pastor to take over the work. So let us pray for the new pastor and his fiance as they get married soon and take over the work. And he comes from a family of five boys, and all of his brothers are in are pastors as well. So it's, he comes from a good family. So let's pray for the Larges in Nicaragua and the others, and pastor, and also for those that went through the storms, the flooding this week in the Midwest, the rains, the tornadoes. Let's pray for all of them, and for those that lost loved ones, that they would come to the Lord for salvation. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer?
God, my God, we give thank you this morning for our time to share.
Amen. 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 You may be seated. Let us turn back to our hymn book as we sing God's praises this morning. Number 186. And can it be 186? Think about the words. What great truth is in this song.
And can it be that I should hear
Amen. Let's pause here for a minute. Who would like to share? We had some great testimonies on Monday at the Memorial Day picnic of salvation testimonies of where Christ brought us from. Before we were saved, what kind of sinners we were, and just how empty we were without Christ. And then when Christ saved us, how he set our feet upon a rock, and he loved us that much. And that's what this song is talking about. Who would like to share your salvation testimony? How and when you were saved? We want to hear about it. What were you going through before you got saved? And then how did Jesus make you whole? Who would like to share their salvation testimony for us? Eric?
I thank God that I got baptized.
Well, before you got baptized, you got saved, right?
Saved, yes.
And was that at the Atlantic?
Atlantic.
Yep. And did you ask the Lord? Gave your life to Christ, right?
Right, yes.
Yep. And he turned your life around.
And then
amen.
All the wicked things I did. Yeah.
You don't want to do those things.
I don't do it anymore.
Amen. That's a great testimony. Who else? Dawn.
I was saved July 27th, 1968. And I came from a family that wasn't Christian at all. Pretty broken up. And, you know, since the day that I was saved and was able to know Christ as my Savior, I have, now that last few weeks I've been doing nothing but looking back on my life, because things have gotten so strange for us. But I just am amazed at all the things that God has done and brought us through.
Amen.
And given us along the way, even when I was a child. Just an amazing God. There's none other. I mean, I can't thank him enough. He's just an awesome God.
Amen. Amen. Good testimony. James, when were you saved?
I got saved at daycare here.
Okay. Got saved at daycare, and you asked the Lord to do what for you?
Marry my sin.
Amen. Did he do that?
Yes, he did.
Amen. Anyone else? Patty. You recognized you were a sinner and that you needed a Savior.
Yeah.
Amen. Right there in church. You didn't even wait for the invitation. Amen. Praise God. 98, so yeah. About 20 minutes. Amen. Anyone else? Jimmy? Amen. Wonderful. All right, let us sing that fourth verse. Let's move to the fourth verse. Next one.
Long I am present.
Oh,
let us turn to our Bibles for our scripture reading this morning. Before we welcome a candidate for membership, let us turn to Acts chapter 2 to see what church membership is all about from the Bible. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to ask Mr. Hodge to come and Deacon Hodge to come and read this scripture for us. Acts chapter 2 goes through what is entailed in belonging to a local church. It's preaching and teaching the Word of God, one of the bride of Christ. And so Acts 2, and starting in verse 38 through 47. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Acts 2, 38 through 47.
Everyone has it? We read it responsibly. I read verse 38 and you 39 until you go to the end. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
For the promise is unto you.
And when many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread, and in prayer.
And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles.
And all that believed were together, and had all things common.
And sold their possessions and goods,
and parted them to all men, as every man had need.
And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart,
praising God and having favor with all the people.
And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. May God bless your hearts. His words, you may be seated.
Amen. So we have some of the ingredients there in church membership as they took part together. They were in the breaking of bread and in prayers together, in a meeting. They didn't have church buildings to meet in yet. We want to welcome all those viewing on the internet from all around the world. We're glad that you are visiting with us today by way of the internet, and we trust and pray that you will be blessed by this service. And so, they didn't have church buildings yet, so they met in their homes. Can you imagine that? Everyone, you know, would host a church service in their house, and they would have it until it grew so much that they'd outgrow that house, and they'd have to have more church services at different homes. And so what a blessing it was for that the church there at Jerusalem and their meeting together and to grow in the Lord. And the 12 disciples were like the 12 pastors that would go around, and then they called 7 deacons to help the 12 disciples pastor the church. All right, this time we'll ask Brother Hodge to come and present our candidate for membership at this time.
Testimony. salvation. I'd like to recommend it to the church, my people.
Wait, we need to hear his testimony
first.
Oh,
his testimony first, yes. That's right. You share with the church like you share with us.
When was that? And where were you when you did that? Patty's hands up over there.
Oh, Patty, can we have a second to that moment?
Fighting over you, darling.
You're important, darling. Alright? So, can everyone in favor do that? You got a right hand, you got a right hand. Alright, thank you for holding the St. Thomas Shrine. We are St. Thomas as members of church. You're welcome. But before he goes to his place, okay, anyone like to give him the word of encouragement? Neither side, this side, or that side.
Make sure you study hard. I've went today, and I know what it's about.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
I say welcome, and I'm very happy that he joined.
Okay. What else? Okay, there's Maria.
I don't know. You're so young, and I'm so proud of you. You know, being a real member of the family, because sometimes people, they are members, but they don't take care about family spiritual thing. And you do so great job. God bless you and very welcome. God love you. And today is a party day in the heaven, because you become a member of the church. You deserve so much for your heart. Amen. Okay?
All right, go ahead,
read your Bible.
Praise the Lord and welcome to our now. It's a blessing to know you and your family and to see you growing up, not only in years, but within the Lord. Just stay close to him and his word. He will never fail you. He is ever faithful. So again, welcome and thank you, Lord, for taking this family.
Amen. Anyone else? Welcome
to being a member here. And this is someone upset me or something like that, pray God, because it's when people upset me, I pray God solves it. He's there, always there for you. So we're never will desert you.
Okay. What else? We'll go to the encouragement. Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Welcome to your church. And God's going to help you every day.
From the time you worked with us on the bus, Darnell, I saw great potential in you. So I praise the Lord that you're joining the church, that you're working with Pastor this summer. He's a great teacher. You can learn a lot from him. So diligently follow what he teaches you. And I'll share my husband's favorite verses with you, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Amen. What else?
Yes, it was a blessing to be able to work with Darnell this week already. Tuesday we went out soul winning around his neighborhood, and he talked to some of his neighbors about the Lord, and it was just neat to see his desire to see them saved. And that was such a great blessing. So he has a heart for souls. And then number two, he's a hard worker. We did quite a few projects already this week, one of which was going on the church's shed behind the parsonage, the blue shed behind the parsonage. He was on the roof there with Paul and I, and we worked on that shed, and we got it done in one day. So that was a blessing, too. Tearing off all the shingles and putting all the new shingles on. So he's a hard worker. And so the church is blessed to be able to have him this summer for to help out as a junior intern. So I'm thankful for Darnell.
All right, anyone else? Give us some encouragement for
Amen. To get us excited about BBT this summer, we're going to watch our BBT video from a couple years ago to kind of get us thinking towards summer ministry and winning kids to Christ, winning teens and adults to the Lord. And so this is a good way to help us refresh and be reminded of those great things. And today we do have a VBT planning meeting. So we're going to watch this video to get acquainted again with Vacation Bible Time. We call it Vacation Bible Time. So you can call it Vacation Bible Day Camp, whatever you want to call it. Kind of helps moms. This in this day and age, it's very popular. Camps are very popular. So that's why I have Vacation Bible Day Camp out there. So that way it kind of gives an idea of what it's about.
There was sin on every hand, but God told Noah what to do. He listened and obeyed. He built a mighty boat of wood and threw it to the sand. Commotion, a storm swells and rises, commotion, the water was rising, but the world around is coming through, when you trust and follow me, we'll see you through. Still today the wickedness of man is clear to see. For many have rejected God and lived so selfishly. But God gave us His only Son to pay for all our sin. He saves us and He makes us well. We put our faith in Him. A storm swells and rises, an emotion comes in, the water will rise, but the world is coming.
it out.
At least we have somebody. Let's try it again. Who's looking forward to BBT?
Me.
All right. A little more enthusiasm this time. We'll turn the light back on. We're looking forward to a great week this week at BBT. Or this, not this week, but this month, next month, July 1st through the 5th. And Jonathan Sikma and his wife Emma will be coming that week to the week before to join us for 2 weeks. So we're looking forward to that. Them coming as well to help us out. And we're just going to have a great time of seeing souls saved. Darnell and I have already been blitzing in the neighborhood, and help us blitz by taking some of those postcards right on the back table there. They're door hangers. Take some door hangers with you and put them on your neighbor's door. That lets them know that we're having VBS, Vacation Bible School, Vacation Bible Day Camp, whatever you want to call it, Vacation Bible Time. And it gives them all the information on these flyers. So take a bunch with you and invite some people. Most importantly, that they can come to know Jesus as Savior. Take a tract. Put a tract with it. And that way you have a tract and a VBS flyer. So that way it doesn't matter if it's an adult who gets it or a kid, that you are sowing seeds of the gospel this summer. And as you saw some of those testimonies, I believe that was Zion giving her testimony. She got saved 2 years ago, and now she's one of our members of our church. So just goes to show how God's Word brings forth fruit. Darnell, it was back in 2012. He got saved at VBT, and so now he's serving here at the church. So these definitely help our church to grow. And so let's pray. Pray much for VBT. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus is our Good Shepherd, and He loves us so much. Continue to pray for baby Grayson. Pray for his upcoming appointment. How did his appointment? Or did he even have it yet? He has this coming Wednesday. Okay. Wonderful. So So he's having less of the... Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Wow, what an answer to prayer that is. Thank you, Lord, for answering that important prayer for baby Grayson. And that's wonderful. God, there's so much power in prayer. People say, oh, why pray? You know, well, people who say why pray are unsaved people. They don't know yet. Just this morning, Patty was saying in Sunday school how God protected her back in shortly after she was saved. She was walking to the church, and there was a man behind her that was coming, she thinks, coming very near her. And guess who comes around the corner right at that time? Police officer. And he goes and just parks right in the parking lot, right at the corner where she's standing. So it just goes to show prayer is so effective. We have no idea all this accomplished by our prayers, because God does things behind the scenes. So let us keep praying for the sick ones, praying for those that aren't saved yet, because God is definitely in the business of answering prayers. Let us pray. Keep praying for Roy and Ethan's wedding coming up June 29th. I'll be flying out to that. And pray for Kenny and Dawn as they're moving at the end of this month. You want to give us an update on how the packing and everything's going, Kenny and Dawn?
Well, the packing's almost done, and we're not excited to leave our family, church family here, but I'm excited to get back home. And we may be leaving a little bit early, but it's not been confirmed yet, so we'll see how it all pans out, but... trusting God, it's His timing, whatever works for
us. Okay, all right. Well, yes, it's very bittersweet for us, and we want to see you happy and with your friends and your family, but we're going to miss you very much here. So maybe before you leave, if we can do something on a Sunday night, have an afterglow, or a Sunday after church, we can have a luncheon. So let us know what your next Sunday, will you be here in 2 weeks from today?
Should be.
Okay, how was everybody think about a luncheon after church? How many are for a luncheon to bring food and to have a good time together? Nope, can't do a Father's Day. Okay, what's the one after Father's Day? That 23rd, is that too close to when you're moving? Probably too close.
I don't think so. I don't honestly know for 100%.
Okay. Okay, sure. All right, we'll wait on planning it. But something will work out. So let's keep them in prayer as they pack and get that together. All right, this Saturday we have a church gardening and shed raising day. If you can help us, we just want to plant some flowers. We have some annuals. We have some little shovels and just to put some flowers in the ground and make the flower beds look nice. And also then the men are, and anyone else who wants to help us construct a shed out, a metal shed with screws and screw guns. So if you can give us a hand this Saturday, starting at 10 a.m., donuts, fruit, juice will be provided for breakfast, lunch, sandwiches we'll have for you. So 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. or whenever you have to leave, come on out, give us a hand, and help the church be all that it can be for God this summer and look nice. Then tonight we have a message from 7 to 8:05, 8:10 on the four types of Christians and how we can move up for God. So come on back tonight for that. And then this Tuesday and Thursday night, this Tuesday at 10 a.m. we'll be going blitzing. Thursday night at 7 we're going Good News Club follow-up. And so help us out with one of those. And then also the other things are on here, Father's Day, summer camp. If you're interested in summer camp, the flyers are on. Did we bring the flyers over, Lydia? Are they still at the house? Okay, can you go get those and also get my brown Bible? Please, can you get my brown Bible? All right, thank you, Lydia. I was my dad's gopher when I was little. So he'd say, Jeremy, can you gopher this for me? And I'd say, sure, whatever you need, Dad. And that's the greatest thing we can do is be a servant. Help out someone else. We find joy in that. Many thanks to all the church staff and those who do faithfully do their jobs, teachers, financial, drivers, etc. We are thankful for all that you do. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. And God says, Jesus says, give and it shall be given unto you. So let us give to Jesus this morning. Let us pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for the day. The money you've received, dear Lord Jesus, we'll pray. Amen.
Amen. Turn back to our hymn book. One last song before we dismiss the young people for Junior Church. Number 77, God Sees the Heart, in the red hymn book, the Majesty hymn book, 77. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. 77 in the red hymn book. Dismiss our young people. You may be seated. All those sixth grade and younger are welcome to go back this time for junior church and toddler church and nursery. And we do have the camp flyers. Mrs. Rice will put those on the back table there. So for those that are interested in a camp, it's for those going into grades 1 through 12 this summer. And the information is all on there. It's a great time. I'll be leading the elementary camp. And Pastor McMenamin leads the teen camp, and Pastor Martin and I run the camp, and it's just a great time with all of our church members being the counselors, etc. And so we're thankful. Yes, it is on. So we're thankful for a good sister churches like Calvary Baptist and Elkins Park that we can do these ministries with. So let us turn our Bibles. We have only a brief time this morning before communion, so let us go to Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs 3, as we look at Proverbs 2, and starting in verse 10, two people to avoid. We only have a short amount of time this morning, so we're going to get right into the two people to avoid in life and who to run to. The book of Proverbs, the theme of Proverbs is wisdom, and Jesus is in every book of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus is wisdom in Proverbs, and He's crying out to us. He's crying out to us every day to get His wisdom, to gain His wisdom. But the choices are whether we're going to go to Him for wisdom each day, or whether we're going to lean upon our own understanding, as it says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. If we lean on our own understanding, we will lack wisdom, and we'll become foolish, and become like the others in the Proverbs, the simple, the scorner, and the fool. And those are the three bad guys in the Proverbs. The good guy and the good lady is the wise learner that learns from God's instructions each day. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to be reminded of Your Word, that we can hear it preached. We thank You that You tell us in 1 Corinthians that the preaching of Your Word is wisdom to us that are saved. Lord, help us to run to Your wisdom each and every day, that we would not just hear it in church on Sundays, but that we would read it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and come to church Wednesday night and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, that we can be fed from Your wisdom and run from those that we need to run from and run to You daily. Lord, we pray You'd quiet our hearts even now. We pray that You'd fill me with Your Spirit and fill each one of us with Your Spirit, that we would desire to be Spirit-filled listeners of the Word and doers of it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to have some visitors with us. We're glad for those of you who are visiting with us. We're thankful that you're here. Okay, Proverbs 2, verse 10, it says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things." So here we see God's wisdom, feeding on it daily, helps to keep us from those that we don't want to be around, that we should not be around. Okay? Now, some people in our life, we can't help being around them. Okay? If we have an unsaved family member that lives in our house, you know, we're going to be rubbing shoulders with them every day. But they don't have to tell us how to live. And that's the good thing, that we all make our own choices in life to live for God. And the people around us should not hold any merit on what our choices should be. Okay, so let us make our own choices, because God is going, it says in Romans 12 and verse 10, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Okay, so every one of us are going to stand, not together as a family before God. You know, you're not going to stand with your spouse. You're not going to stand with your kids before God. Well, kids, you know, tell God why, you know, I didn't take you to church when you were little. Kids, tell God why I didn't do that. No, our kids aren't going to be able to help us out. You know, our kids can't cover up for us. We will stand individually ourselves in account to God. So Proverbs helps us to learn. It's written to the young man and to the young lady. And so it's written to the child, the teenager, to help them to learn. Wisdom will help them all through life. And then it's written to us as adults to show us, hey, remember these things that you faced when you were younger? Well, guess what? They're continually coming back at you again. And so it helps us as adults as well. So Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12, "Discretion will keep us from the way of the evil man." Who is the evil man? The evil man describes the temptation that comes from men who walk in the paths of sin. We first met these men in Proverbs 1, 10 to 19, 2 weeks ago when we looked at that passage. They are not content to mind their own business. They want to corrupt those that are walking on the paths of uprightness. And this is why the righteous needs to be delivered from them. The way of sin is powerfully enticing to the fallen heart of every individual. The darkness in our own hearts is drawn to the darkness of the world. Okay, so what are some of the characteristics of the evil man? 2:12 to 15. What are some of his characteristics? Just call them out for me. Okay, speaketh froward things. He's got a dirty mouth. Okay? He speaks of dirty things. Okay, and then you have on this side, you have the strange woman. Okay? Alright, so he speaks froward things, things that are not biblical, things that are not edifying, but instead, what does he do? He speaks about sinful things. Speaks about wicked, depraved things. Okay, the world loves depravity. Okay, all you have to do is watch a TV commercial, and you don't have to go too far on TV commercials to find an advertisement for something that's wicked, right? It's a TV show that boasts of its wickedness, you know. Oh, well, you know, watch this show because look what we laugh at. Ha, 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 ha. And they're laughing at wicked, froward things. Okay, so God says here, discretion shall preserve thee to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. The world may say it's funny and it's good, but God says froward or dirty things corrupt us. Our mind is going to continually be saturated with wickedness, and if you let it, if you go around an evil man, it will get dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And you know what? Man's depravity knows no bounds. Okay? Literally, there is no depth to the sins that people will go to these days. Okay? Unsaved people will go to any and all sins. And Christians can follow them into that dirty language and the dirty mouth. Okay? What's the next thing that the evil man does? Okay, he leaves the path of uprightness to go in the path of wickedness. Okay? In front of people, in front of their parents, they'll say, "Oh yeah, I'm a good guy, you know, yeah, I'm a pretty mature guy." And meanwhile, when mom and dad's not around, what do? They go and off into things they shouldn't be going into. They talk about things they shouldn't. They look at things on the internet they shouldn't. They watch TV and movies that they shouldn't. Why? Because that's where their heart is. Okay, so we need to watch out for these people because they will destroy us. Verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Okay, that they rejoice to do evil. That's what makes them happy, is the next evil thing that they do. Whether it's watching a show, a TV show that's very, very horrible. It has a lot of immorality. That's what they like to do next. And then they'll do the next thing. And then they'll say the next thing. And they'll talk about the next thing. Well, guess what? That's where their mind is. Whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Okay? Crooked ways. Froward means bent to do evil. Corrupt. Okay? How many know an evil man? Okay? Or an evil young man? Okay? Every one of us, if we're honest, we all have our hands up. Why? Because we know people that are trying to entice us to do these very things. Okay, so here, what does God say? Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. That we need to be delivered. Why? Because God wants us to stay pure in this life. As we just sang that song, beautiful song, God, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God delights in a man that has a pure heart. God delights in a lady that has a pure heart, that wants to talk about virtuous things, that wants to help edify, build up people. You know, I remember when I worked at the bank, you know, some people, on the break, on the lunch break, you go into the break room and you have to hold your ears. Why? Because all they're talking about is just horrible, horrible things. They're cursing. They're talking about this thing they did and that evil thing they did, and you just want to get out of there, you know, hold your ears and run. Why? Because that's all they are. That's what they're rejoicing in. They're rejoicing to do evil. Well, we see that God does not want us to rejoice in evil. That will destroy us. Okay, that there is many, many problems, okay, with the evil man and the strange woman. Let's look at the strange woman, verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Okay, so the strange woman is a flatterer. Flatterer is someone who tells you a lie to your face, and then they'll say something. Oh, you're so good at this, and they'll butter you up. Oh, I love how you do this, and they'll say something to your face, and then behind your back, guess what they're saying? The complete opposite. That person is a bozo. That person, they can't do anything. Oh, they're doing this wrong. And now, a flatterer is someone who's deceiving. Okay? Why do they always need to talk nice about people? Well, because they're talking so much bad things about people behind their back. Okay? So we need to watch out for the flatterer, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. The strange woman forgets God. She may have been taken to church when she was little. She may have heard about God from her mother. But she doesn't want God in her life anymore. She wants to do her own thing. She's a rebel. A rebel who wants to do her own thing. Well, this is a woman to watch out for. Verse 18. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. So here we see the evil man and the strange woman have a lot in common with where they're going to end up. They're going to lead to death. How many of that's what you want in life? You want to have an early death. You know, if God tarries, you know, the rapture doesn't happen in the next 20, 30 years. You want to meet God early, okay, through bad choices in life. No, no one ever wants that. But that's what's going to happen if we follow the evil man and the strange woman. We're going to have an earlier death. That because sin still has consequences. Oh, wait, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Sin doesn't, you know, I'm forgiven of all my sin. Oh, yeah, you're forgiven of all your sin. But sin still has consequences. And God does not protect us from the consequences of sin. He protects us from hell, but not from the consequences of our actions. Okay, so here we see verse 19, none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. The strange woman who seduces men, they don't come back. Once a person commits adultery, they have that continual blot and stain upon their reputation, upon their honor, that upon every part of their life, that it's something they can never escape from, and that is the bad reputation and the problems that come with sin. Okay, Abraham saw that this present world is under God's judgment, and that there is a better world, and he lived accordingly. Moses saw God's approaching judgment on Egypt and his blessing on Israel, and he acted upon it. In Hebrews 11, 25 to 27, let's go over there. Hebrews 11, 25 to 27. This, as believers, we should not think in the present. We should think in the line of eternity. Don't do what is convenient in the moment. Do what is profitable for eternity. If we have eternity's values in view, like Moses and Abraham did, guess what? The strange woman and the evil man will not have the same pull on us anymore. Hebrews 11:25. Choosing, let's read these verses together. choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now all of Moses' contemporaries in Pharaoh's house, you know, the Pharaoh's real children, Moses was an adopted child, Pharaoh's real children, they all said, hey, Moses, you know, you could have all this stuff that we have. You could have the riches. You could have the fame. You could have the nicest house in Egypt. Come on, Moses, live, you know, do what we do. Live for sin. Live for pleasure. Live for money. Moses said, no, that's okay. You guys, you can have it. I don't want it. I'm going to live for God, amen, who I don't see. I'm going to live for eternity. And guess what? Who made the better choice? As we stand many thousand years later, Moses is in heaven. Pharaoh's own children, if they didn't trust Christ as Savior, if they didn't be proselyte into the Israel and believe on Jehovah God. Now many Egyptians did. There were a mixed multitude. And many Egyptians saw that Jehovah God was the one true God. And they left their Egyptian idols and they believed on God. But if Moses' own Pharaoh's family didn't, guess what? They're now burning in hell for all eternity because they made the wrong choice to live for riches, to live for sin, and to forsake God. And to not repent of their sin and believe on Jesus as their Savior. That Moses literally showed Israel, take that lamb, that full-grown male sheep that's got the horns, you know, that beautiful sheep that's full-grown, take that male sheep and kill that. That's your Passover sheep. And that is the one that you have to shed the blood of that sheep and then put it on the lintels of the door. And God, the death angel, will pass over you if you have the blood on the door. Well, literally, Moses showed God's people how we need to have God's own Son, Jesus' blood, shed on our heart in order to be saved from our sin. And Moses made the right choice. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. Yes, is it a reproach for people who are at our work or in our neighborhoods when they're talking about the dirty shows, and going to the bar and drinking and getting drunk, and when they're talking about their immoral things that they're laughing at? Is it a reproach when we can't join in the laugh? Yeah, we may feel like left out. We may feel like the odd one, but guess what? Moses said, hey, it's much better to take on the reproach of Christ than the treasures of this world and the pleasures of sin for a season, because that's only going to last a little while. The people who are living for themselves right now, they're only going to get just a little bit out of that. But then one day they're going to have to stand before God. We need to show them the way out. Hey, there is a better way to live. That you don't have to be the evil man and the strange woman. That you can live for God and you can have a blessed life. We don't have to regret what we did this weekend. You know, thank God we are not sitting here this morning hungover. I didn't see anyone coming in throwing up and, you know, saying, oh, I wish I didn't go there last night. You know, why? Because we don't have any regrets about what we did last night. We didn't do and say things and look at things that we were regretting. Why? Because we're staying on the higher ground, the Word of God, the blessed life. And that's what God is saying here, that we don't stoop for the pleasures of sin for a season when you can have the greater recompense of the reward up in heaven. And now in this life, well, there is so much benefit by not sinning every day. Number one, we'll list out the benefits. You have a longer life. You're not going to have the same problems as those that are doing drugs right now or drinking and killing their liver or putting other intoxicating things into their body. That you're not going to have those same problems. You're going to have a longer life if you choose wisely what you put into your body. As we meet, sometimes people say, well, what does it take to become a member? You know, I know you meet with the pastor and the deacon. What does that mean? All we go through in that other room is not some secret plan or anything like that. All we do is we say, you know, number one, have you been saved? Share with us your salvation testimony. And that's a beautiful thing to hear, how God has saved all of us from our different backgrounds and our different upbringings, and how he saved us and redeemed us out of sin. And then, when were you baptized? How, you know, when were you put under the water and put back up out of the water? And then the third reminder that we do with any candidate for membership is we say, do you know what these verses say? 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, it says that that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So be careful what you put into your body. You know, is there any drinking, smoking, drug use? You know, we should know about it as a church body, and so that way, if you have anything that you're trying to get out of a bad habit, we can help you. Okay, we can help you, and we can encourage you to higher living and to abstain from putting things in your body that will damage your organs and those things. And we want to be a help to you. And then are you reading your Bible, trying to read your Bible daily? And are you seeking to pray and tell others about Jesus and go to church? You know, so it's not some thing that we can't reveal. It's just basic questions of that God would want every local church to be guarding the doors. You know, some churches say, oh yeah, anyone who wants to become a member, just line up and come on up. No, God wants his church to be only composed of those who are saved, children of God, baptized, and those who are wanting to go in God's direction. You know, they're wanting to read their Bible and pray every day. They're wanting to go to church as often as they can, as often as physically possible. And that's all we ask as a church. And then we teach that candidate, there's two parts of membership. There's growing and learning, and then there's serving. And so that's why to become a member of the church, to have those two parts in your life. And sure enough, it's a blessing. And every time we meet together with a new candidate for membership, it's a blessing. Because then they find out, oh, you know, they care about me here. They don't just want a number, a name on the roll, and go, you know, oh, that's all we're interested in, just another number. No, they actually care about my spiritual walk with God. They care. They're trying to help me to become a good representation of the church to the community, and not just another name on the roll. You know, sadly, too many churches have become so carnal because they have not maintain that only saved people can become a member, and only people who are seeking to live for God can become a member, and thus the church gets carnal very quickly. And so it's so important that we do it God's way, because one day Jesus is going to present us as his church, as the bride of Christ. He's going to present us to his Father spotless and without blemish. And so, therefore, we as a church need to take our role seriously. And so here, the strange woman, her house inclineth unto death. Okay, that not only it goes to death, but her steps take hold on hell. She's going in the direction of hell. That and those who follow her are going to hell. You think of every person who lives for sin and doesn't repent of their sin and trust Christ as Savior, that they're literally on their way to hell. And the strange woman doesn't want God in her life, and she's only interested in what she wants. And she doesn't care who she damages and what happens to them. And so that's why as men, we need to guard our eyes and guard our what we look at, guard what comes across our eyes. The strange woman leads to hell. The strange woman leads to a loss of honor. Consider David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, and his dalliance with immorality. Consider Samson and how his relationship with Delilah brought upon him great dishonor, and he died early. Samson only lived to age 40. He's the strongest man in all the world, and he only was a judge from age 20 to age 40. How could such a strong man who could have lived up into past 100 years with his strength, why did he die so young? Because women took him down. His dalliance with the strange woman took him down. And the strange woman leads to a loss of wealth. An article in the Baptist Press described two ministers who became addicted to pornography, concluded with these words: both of the guys I'm dealing with right now, here's what they've lost. They've lost their marriage. They've lost their job. They lost a lot of friends in the sense it will never be the same. They've lost custody of their children, and now they're both doing something that they really don't want to do or feel called to do, and they're just trying to get by. See, that's what the world doesn't tell you, that what pornography will really do to your life. You know, all they do is flash images of immodest women and flash images of immodest men on the TV or on the internet. And if you click on those things, you are literally clicking on your own destruction. That's what's happening. It's going to warp your mind. It's going to destroy your relationships in life. And those women who are in those pictures, guess what? They're just being taken advantage of. They are literally being taken advantage of by men to sell those things. And so you are part and parcel with the problem, not the solution. And so we need to realize this strange woman leads to a loss of wealth, loss of health, loss of honor, and leads to remorse. Those who follow the strange woman are temporarily blinded by lust, but they wake up one day to find they have lost much. They are filled with remorse, but they did not listen to the voice of wisdom. They hated instruction and despised reproof. And then the strange woman leads to slavery. Solomon ends with this warning because it explains why the sinner cannot easily walk away from the strange woman once after entertaining her. There are strong cords associated with sin, and those cords grow tighter with time. And few cords are stronger than the cords of immorality. Those who are addicted to pornography can attest to these things. So God says, instead, to drink waters out of thine own cistern. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. To avoid fornication, 1 Corinthians 7:2, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman her own husband. That God wants to keep us pure for himself. And if you're single, you say, well, I'm not married. If you're single, guess what? God is your completer. Jesus said that he is supreme and that he is our completer. And that he will take care of every need we have. We just need to keep our eyes fixed on him. Amen. Keep our eyes fixed on him. God will help keep us from these snares and temptations. And so God wants us to go on the path of life. Verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the upright, of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. So let us watch what we put on this summer. Let's watch our clothing styles. Let's not put on the tight and skimpy and immodest, because that's literally going, you are going to cause someone else to stumble, ladies, if you put on such things. Don't wear the attire of a strange woman, because guess what? You may be saved, but you will destroy your Christian reputation. You will destroy your relationships. Because instead of, guess where all the good men are going to go? If you wear immodest attire, ladies, where are all the good men going to go? The ones who have a heart for God. The ones who are going to be faithful. The ones who are going to be going to put God first as best they can and have a good family. They're going to walk far away from you. They're going to say, no, I'm not. I don't want to go near her. She's not wearing right clothing. That tells me a lot about her character. Okay? So if you want to attract the right kind of guy that will stay with you, that will be a good Christian, that will do what's right, wear the right kind of clothing. It goes the same thing for the men. Men, don't walk around with your body hanging out and expect to attract a good, godly Christian lady. Okay? And don't tell her to wear such things. Because you are going to then corrupt her as well. And so we see God doesn't take these issues lightly. We want to have the right kind of person in our life. So let us stay away from these and follow righteousness. Let us close in prayer, and I'm going to ask our Deacon Hodge to come as we close with communion. this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessed time that it is to be reminded of these great truths from your word, that we do have wicked people around us trying to take us out of your will. Lord, help us to guard and value our walk with you and our love for you so much that we will not let them take us out of your perfect will for our lives. But Lord, help us to find to stay on your perfect will, stay on the paths of righteousness, that we can be blessed and have great families and have great impact on our communities, and that we can have great reputations. Lord, we pray you'd help keep us from things that would ensnare us. We pray now that as we come to your communion table, that you would remind us of the great price that your Son Jesus paid to keep us out of these sins and to keep us from the penalty of them, which is hell for all eternity. Lord, help us to be reminded of this even now. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 11, we read of one of the two ordinances for church members, one of the two ordinances for those who are part of each local church is to observe regularly. And so if you're not a member yet, it's good to become a member. Why? So you can get saved. If you're not saved, get saved. If you're not baptized yet, you've been saved, but you haven't been baptized. We have a baptistry right there. It's heated, nice and warm. And all we do is say, hey, share with us when you were saved. You share when you were saved, and then I'll put you right down under the water, bring you right back up with the help of one of the men in the church, and that way you can be biblically baptized and then to join the church just like Darnell did. And that is a beautiful thing because that now allows us to take the ordinances. You already took the first ordinance, which was baptism, and that allows us to then take the second ordinance, which is communion. Okay, so it's a privilege to be a part of a local church so we can partake in the ordinances. And for those that are of a member of like faith and practice of a church such as that, then they can go to another church of like faith and practice, let's say when they're out of their community of their church, and they can come here on vacation and they can partake of the ordinances with us. And so it's a benefit of being a church member. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. So the first part of communion, why we are to do it, is because it shows the Lord's death till he comes back. One day, when the rapture happens, we talked about it on Wednesday night, that when the rapture happens, we're all going to go right up to heaven. And we're not going to need communion anymore because we'll be in the communion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the time. Amen. And so until then, we need to be reminded regularly because we're human. You know, there's not one person in this room who's not a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. We all are forgetful of how much it costs for us to be saved out of sin and how much it costs Jesus. So that's why God literally said, hey, have a visual demonstration as often as regularly as you do it. We do it here once a month at Northfield Baptist Church on the first Sunday of every month. Why? So it gives a regular picture, as God says, as often as you do it. We don't want to do it so regularly that it just becomes a ritual. If we did it every Sunday, it'd be just like, oh, we're doing communion again. You know, no, it's some churches do that, and guess what? People just don't really know the meaning. Or many churches, they do it, and they call it something else, and they say, oh, this wafer becomes the body of Christ. It actually is the physical body, so make sure you don't put it anywhere, or, you know, and have weird superstitions regarding communion. You know, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says these are symbols, the elements, a symbol of Christ's broken body in the unleavened cracker, and then his shed blood in the grape juice. Okay, so number one, it's to remember what Jesus went through for our sins so that we realize what our sins where they would take us, and that thankfully Jesus saved us. And number two, verse 27 through 32. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Okay, so they would have literally, they would have their, in their services, they would have a love feast. That literally their communion time would be a meal where they would partake. Well, some were coming in and just gorging themselves and eating gluttonously. And literally then people coming in later, there was no food left for them. And that was a problem that was already happening in the church there at Corinth. So here Paul, through inspiration of God, tells us we should judge ourselves first. We should say, Lord, can I partake of this morning? Am I right with you? And as we pray, Lord, am I right with you? He'll tell us if we're right with him. He'll bring any sins to our minds. Say, Lord, can I partake this morning? What sins are there in my life? And if you pray that to the Lord in a moment as we have silent prayer, he'll bring things to your mind. And then the choice is now ours, whether we're going to turn away and forsake those sins and say, Lord, help me not to do those again. Or to say, no, I like that sin too much. No, I'm not willing to give it up. And if that's the case, that's what Paul says here. Don't eat and drink unworthily, because then you're not discerning the Lord's body. If you think that sin is too much to give up, then you know what? Better not to partake until you get that sin rightly confessed before the Lord and say, no, Lord, I'm changing my heart. I don't want it anymore. And that way we don't eat and drink God's damnation on our body. So let us have a time of this morning of silent prayer to ask the Lord. I'll ask our deacon to come, Deacon Hodge to come, and thank God for his broken body for us.
Dear God, we thank you for Savior, the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
How he came to the Lord and laid on his own life, and took whipping, took the little punishment that was rightly owed. And by his broken body, our sins can be forgiven and be removed. Happy birthday to the Lord of this bride that reminds us of his broken body. Help us to realize how much he did for us. His death, we have salvation. This we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Ask our deacon to come once again as we thank the Lord for his shed blood for us on the cross.
Yeah, God, Lord, we thank you for our Savior, not only for him coming to this earth, but to give his life so that our sins can be forgiven. Father, bless this moment of the juice that we partake that reminds us of Jesus' shed blood. Lord, we give you the glory and the praise and thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen. saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land, unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran, and took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. There's a little cup holder right there in the seat in front of you. There's a little ring. You can put your cups right in there. And then if the men can gather them afterward and help Mr. Hodge clean them up, that would be great. Let us all stand as we close this service. We'll sing the first verse of When I See the Blood, I Will Pass Over You. That's a beautiful song. In here, we'll sing When I See the Blood. It's in the blue hymn book if you need it. It is on page 139. Thank you. 139. We'll just sing the first verse and chorus of this song. When I See the Blood. 139. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you.
Close with prayer at this time. Brother Hodge, would you close this?
Dear God, Lord, we thank you for this day. You made all sort, and we thank you, Lord, for the
bless them for the message we have heard. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who came to our, took our place on the cross and died on the cross, shedding his own blood, and taking his our punishment on himself. Father, we give you the glory, praise, and thanks. Guide us now as we go to our homes, give us safety and travel. Let us find again this evening. And Lord, to you we give the glory, the praise, and thanks. For all things we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.